Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I am so thrilled and excited to host the wonderful and inspirational Rafael dos Santos. Is that how you say it?
That's correct, yes, and thanks for having me. Yes, it is Rafael dos Santos.
Good. Who says he's Brazilian by birth and British by choice?
Correct, yes.
Well, thank you for actually taking the time in your busy schedule to join me on the, I call it the magic sofa, that is Tea with Lily. And okay. So how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It was a busy week, good one.
Good.
And yes, but I'm very well. I'm excited with the new project that I'm launching.
Great. Are we going to get to talk about it later?
Sure, yes.
Okay. So before we get going on the nitty-gritty of this his fabulous journey, let's hear a bit about the brand name Rafael dos Santos. From very humble beginnings, his parents moved to Santos. So do you actually own the whole village?
I wish. I wish, yes. Not quite. It's a popular surname that, you know, after the Portuguese went to Brazil, you know, when they moved there, they changed some surnames. And this is one of the popular ones because of, you know, everybody was very religious. So Dos Santos actually means of the saints.
Oh, so okay.
Translated, yes.
Oh, so, but you're being so, so coy. I would actually tell people I own the whole village. I would do that.
Yes, okay.
Because nobody would ever know, right?
Pretty much.
At 21, Rafael moved to London in the early 80s. Having left his job as a support analyst at Microsoft to learn English. And through that, he worked as a kitchen porter, cleaner, glass collector, you know, the things that you do in order to put food on the table. Mm. And after that, he's owned property portfolios of over 50 properties with 15 staff and reached a turnover of 1.2 million.
Correct.
Okay, great. I know where to come from for my next dinner money. He's also the author of Moving Abroad One Step at a Time, which has been published in English, Portuguese, Chinese, and across Singapore and Malaysia. His other projects include the My Hub?
Yes, My Hub, correct.
My Hub, which is a co-working space which supports migrant entrepreneurs, have an office space, as well as develop strategies to raise finance for their businesses. Mr. Dos Santos is a guest lecturer at Regent's University, where he teaches entrepreneurship. He has won 6 business awards and still counting, and has been the keynote speaker in several countries around the world, including the World Entrepreneurs Forum in China in October 2015. He's recently been featured in the Sunday Times, and also I think I read something on in the Guardian.
In the Guardian, yes, correct, yes.
You see, I've been stalking you.
Good. It's good stalking, I suppose.
good. Well, Tea with Lily is the social enterprise of Lynx Media, where we chat in informal space so that we get guests from all walks of life come to talk about their experiences and give us tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs looking for career and personal growth. You seem so passionate about migrants and the positivity and the benefits. Tell us more and why you do that.
Well, I'm a migrant myself, and I changed my life. I improved my life in this country through running a business with entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And when I started, I had a lot of help from the government and from other entrepreneurs. You know, the government used to have something called Business Link before.
Oh, yes, and I remember that.
Yes. So the business, I did several courses for, you know, I took in bookkeeping, basic accounting, basic marketing, because I had just arrived in the country. So I, you know, I didn't know how things worked here. So I did, you know, I think I took part in about 8 or 9 workshops on how to start and run your business in London for me, it was fantastic. A lot of people there were also migrants. It's funny, you know, the word migrant now, I describe pretty much like the word gay in the 80s. So, because the, you know, gay in the 80s was something that you would not describe yourself. You would not say I'm gay, because there was this stigma, you know, there was this whole negativity about being too promiscuous or being wrong or society didn't accept it. And migrant today now has this division where if you're a migrant, it's like, oh, you know, you're running away, you're poor, you know, you're from Syria, you're from countries that you need a lot of help. And actually, you know, everyone that is from Spain, from Italy, from Canada, from the US, you don't have to come from a poor country to be a migrant. But when you ask, like I was at the IOD, the Institute of Directors, the other day, and I was talking to a few people, and I said, so are you a migrant? And some of them said, no, I'm not. And I said, so where are you from? It's like, oh, I'm from Russia, but I've been here for 10 years. And I said, but you were a migrant. It's like, no, I'm not. I speak English. I have a house. And I was like, okay. So that's why I compared, you know, the word migrant, because of this negative portray in the media of what migrant is, people don't like to describe themselves as migrants, you see?
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's a hit and miss. Some people are very proud, but some people, because of how the media, you know, portrays the word migrant. So that's why, but I want to show that it's, you know, it's a positive thing, that especially migrant entrepreneurs, you know, they're here to build business. Provide jobs. You know, I don't know if you're aware, but 80% of people that graduate, normally young people that graduate, not from top universities, they start their career in small businesses.
Yes.
Right? So, and a lot of these businesses are owned by migrants. You know, so there is a lot. You know, this is 14% of business in the UK are owned by migrants. You know, it's almost 1 million. So, yes.
But the media does not portray that, does it?
No. So the media is all about, you know, how much Polish people are taking in benefits. And this, you know, the kids are taking X number of, you know, seats at schools and things like that. I do believe that migrants, they contribute much more than they take from the economy.
Absolutely. I'm also migrants, and I 100% agree with you. I mean, we can do the stats until we're blue in the face, but
yes,
the migrants, what then happens is that because we don't have the mouthpiece to educate the rest of the population, the media has the mouthpiece to tell the story. They tell our narrative, and I think it's up to us to start to tell the stories that we want to be heard.
Correct. Yeah. So where are you from?
I'm from Ghana.
Oh, how nice. Okay, cool.
Yes. I'm from Ghana. But,
we're both from hot countries.
So, and I think we're all migrants unless you were born in the place where you're actually sitting. Because if you've moved from another city, you've moved from Birmingham, you've moved from, you are a migrant in London.
Yes.
That's how I think. Well, we're all migrants from different parts of the world. Anyway, this is the topic that I'm so passionate about. We could go on and on and on. We don't have the time today. Now, you've done some, like you said, you know, I mentioned you were working with Microsoft before. It must have been really, really tough to move from there and to come to London.
Yes, it was for me. At the beginning, the way that I saw, I felt really humiliated, because there, you know, I lived in a really nice neighborhood. You know, my life was very different. It was very middle class, safe, and that kind of thing. And then you move here, and then it's like people's like, I don't care. You know, you're in Brazil. Your certificates are not valid here.
Yeah.
And your work experience is not really valid. I don't care if you work for Microsoft. You have no experience in the UK. So I must have sent seriously about 1,000 CVs, and I was not invited to one interview.
No.
One, because my English wasn't good enough, and two is I had no experience in the UK. So after about 4 weeks, I was like, okay, I need to start. I only had £600 to stay here 3 months. So I was like, I need to make money. So I went to wash dishes. That was my first job. You know, I went, and that was that was like a wake up call. It's like, okay, you know, you have to do something here, otherwise you're gonna have to go back, and you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna make it. So I had to swallow my pride and wash dishes for 12 hours a day for a few weeks
to
pay the rent. And but it, you know, it taught me a lesson. It taught me, you know, to be humble, and you know, you helped me to grow as a person. You know, I did, that's how you meet people. And then, you know, I did cleaning, I did, you know, in the bar, I was doing glass collector in bars, because my English wasn't good enough to serve, not even behind the bar. So I had to.
You mean you don't know how to pull a pint?
No. And I didn't know, I went for the name, but I didn't know the name. I didn't know what lager is or cider. I didn't know any of this, you see? Okay. So nobody would give me a job. I was like, okay, you don't even know the difference between the drinks. I was like, okay, gin and tonic. I didn't know what gin and tonic was until I moved to this country. Because I don't drink, so for me it made no sense. Yes, so anyway, so that's the story there on how I got, you know, I got to pay my bills at the beginning.
That's very funny. I didn't know what gin and tonic was. It looks like you've worked with some really highly branded companies as well. Tell me about them.
So, well, in the UK or back in Brazil?
Well, it says you work for Chanel, Lacoste.
Oh, yeah. So this was after. So I was studying English. I was going to school and I managed to, it was a very funny situation. One of the girls in my class, she kind of was in love with me. And she said, there's an interview that I'm going for this agency. It should do some promotions for Chanel. Do you want to come along? I was like, yeah, sure. So I went, and it was what she didn't tell me. It was a vacancy for a girl. There were two vacancies. So there was 25 girls and me for the interview. And then I got the job. It was very funny. So it was to do, I don't know if you remember that fragrance called Chance, Chanel Chance. Yeah. Okay, so it was a new fragrance for younger girls. So Chanel was going for the new market. It was for young girls. And anyway, the promotion was, it was very cool at the time. I passed the interview and then I got the job. So I started working 3 days a week full time in shopping centers, and I had to approach girls, spray perfume, and get them to go to the Chanel counter to get a sample. And, you know, it obviously was a boy, and I, you know, I'm not shy, and it worked really well.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. I mean, yes. Well, you know, being so that meant that you got to speak to people, that also helped. You got to meet
correct people and help. Yes, people. Yes. So that led to my next job. So I, one of the girls that I was approaching, she was actually the area director for, I think it was Lacoste or Hugo Boss, I can't remember. And then I approached her and I said, you need to try this. And I grabbed her hand and sprayed. And she's like, oh, you're very direct. I was like, well, you have to try, you know, you were young. And so I was like using my charm. And then I just said, you have to work for me. I was like, do I? And then I think it was Hugo Boss. And that's how I managed. And then she said, you know, come and work for me 2 days a week. You can continue doing the job. So that's when, that's how I got into Hugo Boss, and then from there to Lacoste, and then from one to another. And yeah, so it was, so I was doing there for about a year and a half. So, you know, it was fun, I have to say. And I did everything. I did fashion shows. So I was, you know, so I was doing makeup, and it was crazy. One thing led to another. And I never said any no to any job. Like, even once I was a makeup artist assistant, and I did a course over the weekend, like a all-day course, because I was offered a job to help in makeup, and they said, can you do makeup? And I said, yeah, because he was £500 a day. I was like, yeah, sure, of course I can.
Of course you say yes.
And then I was a makeup artist assistant for 3 days. It was brilliant. It was for that film Aviator with Leonardo.
Oh, yeah, DiCaprio. Yeah, yeah.
When was the launch of the film? They needed assistance, and then I got into the agency and I said, yes, I have makeup, and I've done. So, you know, I always grabbed opportunities when they came along. So, you know, I did pretty cool stuff.
there's a saying, I think it's Richard Branson, who said, if somebody gives you an opportunity and you don't know how to manage it, just say yes and figure out how you're going to do it.
Pretty much, yes.
So, yeah, you're a man after my own heart. In fact, when I started this radio thing, Mirella was my second or third guest. And, how I did it, it was just a thing that I had in my head that I wanted to do. I didn't have an idea how it was all going to pan out. I was going to do it anyway. And the first few ones were not as great, but as you carry on, you get more comfortable. I've had to learn to do editing, radio editing and stuff like that, which is, you know, just find out how to do it.
Yes.
Anyway.
And now you're a pro.
Well, I do try my best. I do try. I'm more comfortable and casual about it.
Right.
So okay. It comes more naturally, whereas before very serious. And I didn't crack any jokes because I didn't think I didn't crack any jokes about myself.
Oh, but then it's because you feel more confident.
Yeah.
So as you're more confident, you're more relaxed about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. It's all about whatever you do. I think it's always the same. The more confident you feel, then you know you don't get, even if you put it on spot, you don't get nervous anymore because you know what you're doing. Yes. You have a great voice, by the way. So it's great that you're doing. It's not that you are not attractive.
Thank you. I've got a good face for radio.
Okay.
Listen, Mr. Raphael, I hear that your biggest secret is about connecting people. What is it that drives that?
I think it's because I've always worked with people, and it is how, you know, I don't know if you know BNI, but, you know, for a long time, I was a member of BNI. And that's how really I learned, you know, there I learned the importance of you give first before you take.
Yeah.
So when I listen to people and they say, oh, you know, I always ask, what can I do? You know, what do you need? What can I do? And even if I can't do, it is always an email introduction. And I say, you should speak to this person or speak to that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't do thinking, oh, if I do this now at a later stage, that person would be able to do this for me. But I think the more you give, you know, the universe gives back to you when you least expect. And it's, you know, it's great that you, if you can help, you know, I've helped people to buy properties, and I made introductions, and I got people to date, you know, two people that I met, they're now married. So it's, you know, it's nice that connection is good. Like, I introduced them. And so I think it's good. I think you have this feeling where, how can I help? And you don't expect anything in return. Because I think then, obviously, that is that if you have that expectation, then that is disappointment. Because if you have expectation, that is always, you know, if expectation is not met, there will be disappointment. So I don't expect anything back. And when something gets back, it's great. So because you're not expecting. And it's nice to see people happy, you know, either in business or in personal life, whatever, however I help, in only if I make an introduction and that is fruitful, it's great. So that's the feeling that I get.
This is a fun one. When you were growing up and you were this cheeky 16-year-old boy, and you were, I don't know whether you had career guidance in Brazil, but if you were sitting and somebody said to you, what did you want to be? Looking back, what would you have said?
I would have said either a biologist or something related to plants. You know, it's like working, I don't know, even a gardener. I loved it at the time. Yeah. Today, I don't even have a garden because it's too much work.
You never know. You never know. Maybe in your later years, you might have a big garden and do it yourself.
Exactly. So, but today, for me, like a garden is, I have to say, I have two orchids that I managed to keep them for about 5 months now. So it's like, I'm very proud. That's as far as garden goes at the moment. And being a biologist, it's like, oh my God, you know, I can't even see blood. So I don't know what I had in mind. If whatever it is about biology, you know, even microbiology or medicine, you know, whatever, that's what I thought I was going to get, you know, involved. Yes. Very far from what I am now.
Well, you never know. Maybe you'll make so much money that you'll give money back into that area. I don't know. It's just okay. So this is Tea with Lily. I'm here with the big voice of migrant business movement, Mr. Raphael dos Santos, whose mantra is, nothing is impossible. And now I'm going to read one testimonial, and which says, Rafael is a very dedicated business mentor. He always challenges business ideas to make sure they're viable and lead to success. Not only does he have experience with startups, he's also excellent at networking and connecting people. My G-Work benefits from his advice at every step of our journey. And this is from the founder of My G-Work, Pierre Goubert.
Goubert,
and he's the inclusive LGBT recruitment hub.
Correct.
Wow. So you helped him to set up the business and do that?
Yeah, so they are, so it's twin brothers, and so they set up, they had problems at work, so they, you know, they're gay. So when they left work, they wanted to be able to find a company that was LGBT friendly.
Okay.
So instead of finding another job, so they decided to create a recruitment company for LGBT. So what I do is I'm a shareholder, but I also help them. You know, I provide, once a month we meet, and I provide mentoring. So, you know, in business, especially for marketing and partnerships. So that's the key thing for them. And through my, you know, I'm very humble to say that through my mentoring, they won an award. So they, you know, they, yes, the diversity awards, you know, for the new business. And on Attitude Magazine, which is an LGBT magazine, for a year, they won an advert of a page for their business.
So I was
very happy, you know, that I managed to get them the through the whole process of applying, what should be, you know, what should they be writing there. And yeah, so I'm very proud of my two boys.
Oh, well done. Yes, well, thank you for sharing that passion and food, because basically what you've done, are they migrants as well?
They are from France, yes.
Oh, French. Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, they're migrants. That's great. So, how would you describe the types of people that you normally help in terms of your client profile?
Okay, so for example, at the hub, you know, the my hub that is coming to life soon, the types of business are normally migrant entrepreneurs, slightly older. They started the business a little bit older. You know, they don't start at 21, 23. They, I would say, is 25 plus, right? So in our last program, we had a cohort, and the average age was 38, just for you to have an idea. So, and they can be running any type of business. So we had Russian newspaper, Japanese cream. You know, we have LGBT recruitment. So that is all, it is very diverse, you know, Brazilian flat sharing property. So it was very diverse.
You know, that's not yours, is it?
Not mine anymore. Not quite, no.
Rafael, what have been the highlights of your career so far? You know, I know you've done a lot, but sort of one or two things that you think, yes.
I think my two awards were pretty big. So I won the European Award of Pitching in Istanbul in 2014.
Wow.
So I won in the UK, and then I went to the European one and I beat 10 countries. It was pretty cool. First, because the English is not my first language, you know, and it was nice to be in a European competition and then win. And the second one was this year, it was to be at the Sunday Times, you know, the list of the 100 most inspiring entrepreneurs in the UK. Because they were pretty big entrepreneurs there. You know, the founder of EasyJet and the founder of White Company and LastMinute.com. But, you know, they had different categories. And the category that I was in was, you know, inspiring in the sense of helping young entrepreneurs and my work with migrant entrepreneurs as well. Yeah. So that was the key thing there that led to winning the award.
So that's a really nice niche, isn't it, that you found yourself?
Yes, it is, because it's very rewarding. You know, it's nice to see, you know, migrant entrepreneurs are very ambitious. You know, one is that they have moved countries, obviously. So that is this, you know, this is the resilience, you know, this drive.
Yeah.
And once you decide to do a business, you know, you have all their strength, you know, but obviously there are weaknesses there. You know, language is one of them. To pitch their business, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but public speaking is the number two fear after death, right? But now with migrants, you have to add layers of the way that I speak. My accent sounds funny. You know, people are going to laugh at me. So there are fears, you know, there are layers there that are placed on top of public speaking. And I like helping, you know, those to get over those fears so they are able to pitch to sell or for partnerships, or because you're pitching your business all the time, you need to be able to do that with confidence. And it's good that people progress. You know, you see people more confident and progressing in the business. It's great to see that.
And I think also connections, whereas, for instance, I'll be, you know, I'm sure I could call on somebody in the government in Ghana because I'm connected in that way because I went to school with them or I knew somebody that went to school with them. You don't have that here.
Correct, yes.
So...
And it's nice. So, you know, when you created this network of migrants, their network expands. So the three, just for you to understand, the three biggest issues for migrants are lack of network, because obviously they don't have the social life that they had going to school, as you just mentioned. Then lack of local knowledge. You know, some people don't even know what company's house is or why you need to do bookkeeping. You know, things like that. And then lack of funding, because you don't have credit history, it's more difficult for you to raise funds for your business. Yeah. So these are the key, the three key things that we are going to focus and help in our hub.
Okay. Yes, okay.
It's with that.
And I'll be more than happy to support some of those things. So
great. Sure. That's great. Thank you.
Now, we've talked about work. Right?
Yes.
What are the things? You can't be just helping everybody and running business and making millions of money. What do you do to relax? You've got to be able to relax.
Yes, I love traveling. You know, I think, so it's since I left Brazil, I think I've been to now 48 countries. So my latest one was 3 weeks ago. I was in Poland. So I was in Warsaw. So my husband and I, we agreed that we do 5 new countries every year. So we've done one so far this year. Because I want to visit all 195 countries before I die.
195? I didn't even know it was that many.
Yes, there are 195 countries.
How many continents have you been?
I've been to them all. I visited all 5 continents. I think Africa, the thing in Africa is that I want to explore a bit more because I've only been to, you know, like Egypt and...
That's not Africa.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they said. It's like, this is Middle East, it's not Africa. But it's not Africa.
if you want to come to Ghana, I'll take you to Ghana.
I have to say, I worked in Selfridges, and I remember I worked with these girls from Ghana. We had so much fun. You know, Brazilians and Ghanaians, they're like house on fire when they get together. So
because we like colorful things. We like to have fun. I can see the similarity.
Yes, so I accept your invitation.
And what else do you like to do? What do you like to eat?
I love French food. So my husband and I, we have a house in South of France. So we're there, you know, 6 to 10 times a year. And French food, I think, is to die for. It's my favorite. But if I'm not eating French food, my weakness is Häagen-Dazs Dulce de Leche ice cream. And I can have for breakfast and lunch and dinner.
Then have to work out a lot to work out.
I know. That's why I go to the gym 5 times a week. You know, I have so much ice cream on the weekend.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic. Listen, what about charity? Which charities do you support and why?
So I help Battersea dogs. So I had a dog from Battersea. She was with me for 18 months. I adopted her when she was old, but then she died of cancer after 18.
I'm so sorry.
So once I open my new hub, I will get another dog, and then the dog will come with me to the office. So that's the plan. Yes. And I help a Migrant Voice. I don't know if you know them. It's a charity, obviously, that helps migrants. But what she does is great because it's all about providing, changing the perception of migrants in the media. Okay. So it's sending good stories to the media. You know, it's helping migrants, even with media training, if they are going to be, you know, interviewed by the media, what they should be saying and how to address the interview. So I help them a lot. And I like, and Mirella with her, you know, Women Foundation.
Yeah.
I help her, you know, women in business, and I have a lot. I think most of my friends are actually women, so you know, it's only
you're a brave man.
It's only fair that I help a charity that helps women as well.
Okay, thank you. This is Tea with Lily, and I'm here with the voice of the migrant business movement, Mr. Rafael dos Santos, whose mantra is nothing is impossible. I'm now going to read the second testimonial. I went on your LinkedIn and picked this one up. Rafael is one of the most driven, inspiring, and professional people I know. Totally committed to serving his clients, his friends, and his community. His generosity, helpful nature and vast knowledge are so valuable that I'm certain that if I'm ever moving abroad, Rafael is the industry expert who can help and support you through it. And this is from Sammy Blindell, branding expert.
Yeah, so Sammy's lovely.
Of course. So are you. So are you.
Well, thank you. Yes, Sammy and I have done some work together. She, you know, she does branding. She helps small businesses. And she's now in France. So she lives in France.
Okay.
And I believe that she read my book, Moving Abroad, obviously, even though it's in Europe. But sometimes people don't understand that, you know, even though it's in the same continent, you know, if you are British moving to France, it's a big cultural shock. Things are done differently, food is different, language and all that. So I think Sammy read the book and she liked it. And yes, I think she's happy in France now. It took her a while to adapt. She's happy now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Rafael, how can our listeners connect with you if they want further advice on promoting a positive migrant stories or helping migrant businesses grow, get funding, all those wonderful things that you do? How can they contact you? What are your social media contacts and everything?
So if they want to be part of the hub, you know, if they need office space or if they want funding, they can go to the website, which is myhub.com. So it's mi-hub.com. Okay. Or if they want to connect with me, they can go to my personal website and all social medias are there. And it's rafaeldossantos.com. D-O-S-S, and it's Rafael with an F, not P-H, which is the French version. So mine is the Brazilian version.
Yeah, the real version, right?
Correct.
that's so cute. What are your top three tips for raising funds for business, for migrant businesses?
Okay, so the number one is to organize, you know, to face the finance. I think is the biggest problem for entrepreneurs. Like, they don't want to face it, what is going on. You know, they think that there's money coming in and money coming out, and there's a little bit left at the end of the month, and they're making money.
That doesn't work. Nothing going on by the rent.
Yes. So that doesn't work. So the number one is do your bookkeeping and management of accounts properly. So that's really number one. So number two is, you know, having an organized business. And it sounds all very boring, but this is what really helps with finance that people don't understand. So number one is bookkeeping. Okay, so doing it properly, saving your receipts. Number two is doing a management of accounts. So you know every month really how much money you're making. Okay. And number three is get your pitch right. Okay. So know what you're pitching, to whom you're pitching, and what you're pitching for. Because sometimes, you know, you're talking to someone, but it's like, what are you doing? Are you trying to sell? Do you want to get a partnership? Do you want money? And depending on who you're talking to, you must change your pitch. So, you know, you can't do your sales pitch to an investor. You can't do a sales pitch to a partner. You must have different ways. So getting the pitch right is very important.
Okay, so the top three business tips are finding, having the right business plan and get, and the second one is having your accounting and bookkeeping. And
Correct,
the
yes.
third is you need to be able to pitch properly, market yourself, brand yourself properly, and all those things. Boring as
Yeah,
they are, that's what's going to make
correct.
money.
But that's what brings money, exactly.
That's what brings money. Oh,
Yes.
this has been such good fun, Raphael. People come into our lives for a reason, or a season. I think you're here for a reason, but surely I think we're also going to have several seasons together.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
for
Yeah.
which we will celebrate. I'm really enthused by your energy and positivity. And at the end of the day, like I said earlier, we're all migrants, regardless of where we come from, whether it's just from the next city, the next town. And I think we should all work together to make everybody's life improve. Because if we work together to improve our lives, the next generation will also have a better chance of improving their lives, and so on and so forth.
That's
So
right.
we all won. I truly cherish your honesty and hard work, and may everything you wish for be the least that you receive. Mr. Rafael dos Santos, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, and I hope I could help a little bit your listeners, and thanks for the opportunity. And I love your voice, so continue with your work.
Thank you, thank you. And if you have any specific people that you think I can help with it, that with to improve the voice of their brand, by all means, email me and I can help them. But I'll see you next week. Is it the sixth?
Yes. On the 6th, yes. So the
Okay.
Migrant Business Show, yes.
So everybody, Migrant Business Show is coming your way, 6th of April. And what was
Correct.
the address as well?
So it's if they go to migrantbusinessshow.com, then they can see it's at Westminster Central Hall on the 6th of April from 6 to 10 p.m.
Okay. All right then. Listen,
Yes.
honey, I'll see you next week, and have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.